I suppose you could sign this.
If you got a pen.
On Saturday, October 22nd, Occupy Boston welcomed a hero to many on the left.
I'm glad you could come.
Author, activist, and social commentator Noam Chomsky came to the Howard Zinn Memorial Lecture Series to address the largest crowd that the Dewey Square encampment had seen to date. I had the dubious honor of meeting Professor Chomsky at South Station and escorting him across the street to the Occupy site. He was duly impressed with the tents and signs, and the Occupies were even more impressed by his presence. The stage area was totally mobbed with a sea of humanity to hear Professor Chomsky speak. As the sea parted to allow a passage to the makeshift stage, the throngs of people cheered and welcomed him. What follows is an excerpt of his presentation.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
It's a little hard to give a talk on a Howard Zinn Memorial Lecture at a Occupy meeting. There's mixed feelings necessarily go along with it. First of all, regret that Howard's not here to take part in and invigorate in his inimitable way something that would have been the dream of his life. Secondly, excitement that the dream's actually being fulfilled. It's a dream that for which he laid a lot of the groundwork, and it is a very exciting development, spectacular and unprecedented. There's never been anything like it that I can think of. If the bonds and associations that are being established in these remarkable events can be sustained through a long, hard period ahead, because victories don't come quickly, it could turn out to be a very significant moment in American history. Take a look at what's happening right now. The big topic in Washington, everyone concentrates on, is the deficit. For the public, correctly, the deficit is not regarded as much of an issue, and it isn't really much of an issue. The issue is joblessness, not a deficit. Now, there's a deficit commission, but there's no joblessness commission. As far as the deficit is concerned, the public has opinions. Take a look at the polls. Overwhelmingly support higher taxes on the wealthy and preserve the limited social benefits. The outcome of the deficit commission is probably going to be the opposite. Actually, that's something that has to be done very quickly. Deficit Commission is going to come up with its decision in a couple of weeks. The Occupy movements could provide a mass base for trying to avert what amounts to a dagger pointed at the heart of the country. It could have very negative effects. It's an immediate task.
The crowd was so large that people in the back could not hear, and Professor Chomsky was interrupted a few times by feedback as organizers tried to push the sound system beyond its limits. But Noam stayed focused as best he could and joked about maybe he'd talked too much already.
Probably talked enough anyway, so let me just say that and I'd like to make more sense to turn this over to public discussion, but I've kept to domestic issues, and these are by no means the only ones. You all know that. There's very dangerous developments in the international arena, including two of them, which are kind of a shadow that hangs over almost everything we discuss. There are, for the first time in human history, real threats to decent survival of the species. There are two. One has been hanging around since 1945, and it's kind of a miracle of escape. That's the threat of nuclear war, nuclear weapons. And though it isn't being much discussed, that threat is in fact being escalated by policies of this administration and its allies. And that something has to be done about that, or we're in real trouble. Now, the other, of course, is environmental catastrophe. Practically every country in the world is taking at least halting steps towards trying to do something about it. The U.S. is also taking steps, namely to accelerate the threat. The U.S. is the only country that's not only not doing something constructive, but is not climbing on the train, it's pulling it backwards. Congress right now is dismantling legislation instituted by the Nixon administration, really the last liberal president in the United States, literally, and it shows you what's been going on. They're dismantling the limited measures of the Nixon administration to try to do something about what's a growing, emerging catastrophe. And this is connected with a huge propaganda system, perfectly openly declared by the business world, to try to convince people that it's all just a liberal hoax. Why pay attention to these scientists? And we're really regressing back to the medieval period. That's not a joke. Now, if that's happening in the most powerful, richest country in history, this catastrophe isn't going to be averted, and everything else we're talking about won't matter in a generation or two. Well, all that's going on right now. Something has to be done about it very soon, a very dedicated, sustained way. It's not going to be easy to proceed. There are going to be barriers, difficulties, hardships, failures. It's inevitable. But unless the process that's taking place here, elsewhere in the country and around the world, unless that continues to grow and becomes a kind of a major force in the social and political world, the chances for a decent future are not very high.
So we're open to just a few questions right now. So hold on just a sec. He's talking about corporate personhood and getting the money out of that stream in politics.
Yeah, that's these are very good things to do, but you can't do this or anything else unless there's a large, active, popular base. If the Occupy movement was, you know, the leading force in the country, you could push this forward. But remember, most people don't know that this is happening. They may know about it, but not know what it is. And among those who do know, polls show that there's a lot of support. But that assigns a task. It's necessary to get out into the country and get people to understand what this is about and what they can do about it and what the consequences are of not doing anything about it. And corporate personhood is an important case in point, but pay attention to what it is. We should think about it. Now, if you read we're supposed to worship the Constitution these days. The Fifth Amendment of the Constitution says that no person shall be deprived of rights without due process, of law. Well, the Founding Fathers didn't mean by person, they didn't mean person. So, for example, there were a lot of creatures of flesh and blood who weren't persons. The indigenous population, for example, they didn't have any rights. Now, there was a category of creatures called three-fifths human in the Constitution, slave population. They weren't persons. And in fact, women were barely persons, so they didn't have rights. Well, a lot of this was somewhat rectified over the years. During the Civil War, the 14th Amendment raised the three-fifths humans to full humans, at least in principle. That was only in principle. Now, if you come to over the following years, the concept of person was changed by the courts in two ways. One way was to broaden it to include corporations, legal fictions established and sustained by the state. In fact, these persons later became the management of corporations, according to the court decisions. So the management of corporations, they became persons. Of course, that's not what the 14th Amendment says. So it's easy to think of a lot of things that should be done, but they all have a prerequisite, namely a mass popular base is there, which is committed to implementing them.
Sir, I have a two-part question that I've been waiting to ask you my whole life. You mentioned earlier that sit-down protests were just precursors to a takeover of industry. I would like to ask you if today you would advocate a general strike as an effective tactic moving forward. And second, Would you ever, if asked, allow for your voice to relay the democratically chosen will of our nation?
I'm not sure I understand. My voice wouldn't help. I can't even reach you. And besides, you don't want leaders. You want to do it yourself. Not that I could be one.
But we will need representation in the international table.
We need representation, but you should pick it yourselves, and they should be recallable representatives. So you're not going to fall into some system of control and hierarchy. But the question of the general strike is like the others. You can think of it as a possible idea at a time when the population is ready for it. Like, we can't sit here and declare a general strike, obviously. There has to be approval, agreement, willingness to take the risks, to participate on the part of the large mass of the population. And that takes organization, education. If you want to change the world in a constructive direction, you better try to understand it first. And understanding it doesn't mean listening to a talk, reading a book, although that's helpful sometimes. It means learning, and learning, you learn through participation. You learn from others. You learn from the people you're trying to organize. You have to gain the experience and understanding which will make it possible to maybe to implement ideas like that as a tactic. But there's a long way to go. That doesn't happen by a flick of a wrist. That happens by hard, long-term, dedicated work. And I think in many ways, maybe the most exciting aspect of the Occupy movement is just the construction of these associations, bonds, linkages, and others that are taking place all over the place, all over. And out of that, if they can be sustained, can come and expanded to the large part of the population that don't even know what's going on. If that can happen, then you can raise questions about tactics like this, which could very well at some point be appropriate.
Mike Check. What are your thoughts on?
Publicly financed campaigns.
I also have two points of information. This presentation is on the live stream and will be recorded at OccupyBoston.com. You can look on the live stream and come back. And one other point of information, there is Occupy Congress. Look for it on the web. It's very new. Let's just do it.
Well, I think that's a pretty good answer to the question of publicly financed campaigns. Let's just do it. We pick our own representatives. We finance them. We vote for them. And if the corporations pour money into somebody else's pockets, okay, they can spend it on luxury goods. That can be done, but only if you have an organized, engaged public. There's lots of things you can propose, but they all go back to the same basic conclusion. You have to have an organized, dedicated public that's willing to implement them. And if there is, a lot of options are open up, including these.
Could you please share your thoughts on the significance of Occupy the Hood movement and any insights you may have regarding cross-cultural organization for social change?
Well, that's a great movement. I heard just coming out here this evening that the first Occupy Hood action took place just yesterday in Boston. And it's been happening in other places, New York and elsewhere. And that's perfect. I mean, it's the kind of reaching out into the general community that makes sense. People have to do it themselves. You know, I can't tell people how to organize in Roxbury, and if I told them, they shouldn't listen to me. They know how to do it, and we should work hard to get this integrated. And that means, again, not just telling people, here's what you got to believe, but learning from them. What do they want? What do they need? What can we learn from them? How can we find ways to work together to overcome barriers and tensions and become part of a dedicated, ongoing, sustained movement, which, and I stress again, is going to have to last a long time, because most of these goals that we're talking about, that can't be attained in a couple of weeks or months. Actually, some of them can, but most of them are a long struggle. And people with power don't give it up unless they have to. And that takes work.
This way.
Noam Chomsky, addressing about 1,000 people jammed into Occupy Boston, Dewey Square, Saturday night, October 22nd.
Thank you, Noam, so much.
Getting him out through the crowd was a challenge. There was a car waiting, and Boston police were helpful blocking traffic and getting occupiers back on the sidewalk to clear a path for his departure. For the Boston Community Radio Project, I am Chuck Rosina with an ongoing series of reports from Occupy Boston.